AM 640 live everywhere, even outside of California on the iHeartRadio app. Good morning. It's the Bill Handel Show. Bill is getting closer and closer every day to a full recovery from that heart surgery he had, and he's going to be here at 9 o'clock. Find out what is on his mind today. Some of the top stories we're following for you at KFI. American Airlines said, remember that generous pandemic leave we gave you? If you came down with COVID, you wouldn't have to dip into your regular sick leave. Well, if you're unvaccinated, you're not going to get that special pandemic leave anymore because we're done with you and your stupid decisions. So if you get COVID and you're unvaccinated, you're going to have to burn up your sick time. Sorry, guys and gals. Actor Michael K. Williams, known for his role as Omar in The Wire, was found dead in his Brooklyn apartment. They're investigating it as a possible overdose. He did a lot of other things, too. I mean, I don't know that he was upset necessarily for being known for that role in The Wire because it was a masterfully performed character. A lot of people say that character was the most interesting character on that show. But he was in Boardwalk Empire. He was in a lot of things. And according to polling, Governor Newsom's going to keep his job because even in places like the Inland Empire and Orange County, San Diego areas, the number of people who say they're going to vote to keep him is higher than the number of people who say they're going to vote to get rid of him. So speaking of the recall, oh, my goodness. As with any hot button thing anymore, a bunch of misinformation has arisen. And this has nothing to do with how you should vote in the recall. All right. I know some people will tell you how to vote or how they think you should vote. I don't care. You vote the way you want to vote. That is what a democracy is all about. Excuse me. That is what a representative republic is all about. Is every person votes the way they authentically feel about the thing, period. So trying to change people's minds about how to vote is kind of stupid, I think. Anyway, here's it. So the only point here is let's wrap our head around all the hysteria that's cropped up over this recall. And you may recall, and it was just last week, although it feels like it was a long time ago, where they found that guy sleeping in his car in Torrance. And he's got all this stuff in there. He's got stolen driver's licenses. He's got people's credit cards. He has a bunch of postal mail in there. And he had 300 ballots. Now, in terms of what he had and the harm that could have come from what he had if he hadn't been caught, the ballots are the least consequential thing he had. Having people's driver's licenses, that is an introduction to identity theft. Having people's credit cards is an introduction to, oh, guess what? The credit card company says you owe them $10,000 for stuff. 300 unmarked, unopened recall ballots is an invitation to probably nothing. Because with all the security that's in place, the idea that that could turn into 300 fraudulent votes is laughable. You know, every ballot that you turn in by mail, they verify the signature with the signature on your voter registration card. Also, they all have a barcode. And I'm definitely not saying that there's no voter fraud in this country. Not at all. However, the fact is, there's very little. Never, ever has there been found voter fraud to a level that would actually change the outcome of an election. So is it a problem? Yeah, sure, it's a problem. It's kind of a problem like, should you be worried that your neighbor's running a meth lab and is going to blow up their house? Well, it happens. It happens from time to time. But is it something that is so prevalent that you should worry about it or consider it like, this is how we should handle every aspect of building houses and zoning places and running our lives so that my neighbor doesn't run a meth lab and blow up his house? No. Because the ballots were in the mail because this guy went out and stole a bunch of mail at a time when one of the things in the mail was ballots. He wasn't picking ballots. He wasn't looking for ballots. I used to have a lot of these mail theft cases when I worked with the feds. These are either tweakers who steal whatever mail they can get and then sell it to, generally it's identity theft rings, or they're people working in identity theft rings. There's never been mail theft as part of a scheme to manipulate an election. Then the thing about the design of the ballots, and I know you've heard about the hole in the envelope and the fact that if you put your ballot in the envelope the wrong way, people can see how you voted on the first question in the recall. And I didn't know why the hole was there. I didn't think it was some nefarious plot to see my vote. I just didn't know why it was there. And I guess I want to say thank you to the people who lost their minds and thought that it was there in order to allow election officials to see how you voted so they could throw out your vote, because at least we got an explanation for why it's there. It's there for blind people, visually impaired people, because if you notice where it is, it helps you figure out where to sign your name if you can't see that well. And it also is there to make sure that your vote gets counted so they can see, oh, wait, there's still a ballot in this envelope. Because the hole, you can't see through the hole to the other side. That's why the hole is there. And the other thing with the ballots now, and I hadn't heard this before, but this is the new one. You know, there's 46 replacement candidates on this ballot, so the format of the ballot's a little weird. And when the ballot is folded, the crease goes right through the names of some of the replacement candidates. And now you have folks saying, oh, that's designed somehow to manipulate the results, which I don't even, that's a conspiracy theory that you can't even carry through to its logical conclusion. How does the fold in the ballot going through the name of the person that you'd want to vote for stop you from voting for them? But that is another alarmist theory that's out there. So this is the way it's going to be forevermore. Every time there's an election, there's going to be tons and tons of Chicken Littles running around saying that nefarious stuff is going on. It will be investigated, and it will be found not to be true. Let's get a news update from Jennifer Jones Lee. Then when we come back, if you don't like that, because, I don't know, you think it's a big plot by Democrats to keep Newsom, you're going to hate what they're working on in Congress. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Good morning. Bill Handel's show. He will be here at 9 o'clock. We can find out what is on his mind today as he gets closer and closer to full recovery from that heart valve replacement surgery. Some of the top stories we're watching for you here. A shortage of supplies and workers are going to delay Gulf rebuilding in New Orleans and to make it more expensive as well. And health experts are waiting to see if there's a post-Labor Day weekend COVID-19 spike. Well, you had the regular spending bill situation. You had the massive infrastructure bill. And now Democrats in Congress are working on a major social policy plan. This is another several trillion dollars over the next 10 years. And it would basically, it'll be the biggest change in how you experience the government in your life since, I would say, the New Deal and the war on poverty in the 60s, because this is some of the stuff that they are talking about, and it's in the early stages. They're still writing it, okay? So we don't have a completed bill that we can look at, but we know the broad strokes of what's going to be in it, and it's basically cradle to grave government support and help. free or highly subsidized child care, with the specific idea that nobody would ever pay more than 7% of their income for child care. Universal pre-K programs, 2 years of formal instruction there. Then, on the other side of it, 2 years of post-secondary education, an expansion of the child care leave, an expansion of the child tax credit, more work training programs, and then later in life, tax credits for older folks, as well as expanding Medicare to cover dental and hearing and vision services. I suppose if we look strictly from a mechanical standpoint, it's not as big a thing as the creation of Medicare and Medicaid or the creation of Social Security. And in fact, you could argue that the Affordable Care Act was a bigger jolt to the system because it created a completely new government infrastructure there. This doesn't really create new agencies. It just expands on all the stuff that we already have, but in a big way. It is a movement, definitely a movement towards a more democratic socialist approach to government than what we have now. And that is the very thing that Republicans are seizing upon in order to try to disparage it already. You don't even have the full bill yet, but already Republicans are saying it's socialism, and that's why it's not good. One of the problems with that argument is that public attitudes in this country are more in favor of socialism. In other words, it used to be, the political argument used to be, that's socialism. And the other side would say, no, no, it's not. It's not socialism. There was a recognition that socialism was viewed as bad, and you didn't want your idea to be pegged as socialism. So you would fight vehemently to say that it's not. Well, public polling shows depending on what the specific issue is. So expanding the child tax credit has one level of support, expanding Medicare to cover vision and dental has another level of support. But generally speaking, a majority of people responding to surveys in this country say they support these things. So the thing is, socialism is not necessarily the dirty word that it used to be. Not for everybody. For some people, absolutely, it is still a third rail. But not for as many people as it used to be. And I don't know if it will be enough. If you want to fight this kind of expansion of government programs and benefits and support, I don't know if it's going to be enough to simply point the finger and say, no, it's socialism. I think you're going to have to get a little bit into the weeds of why each idea that makes up this mosaic is bad as a matter of public policy. Now, currently, given that you got an even split in the Senate and you got those two Democratic senators, Manchin and Sinema, who generally are not going to go for this kind of thing, and you have a somewhat slim majority in the House, I don't know if something this bold is going to be able to pass in this Congress. But they're starting to work on it. Let's get a news update from Jennifer Jones Lee, and then Jim Ryan from ABC News will join us. And work at home is continuing. In fact, companies are putting off bringing people back, so there'll be more work at home for longer. But how do they know you're working when you're home? Well, you're going to learn all about the mouse jiggler, amongst other methods. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Bill Handel Show. Bill is off today. Wayne Resnick sitting in. And we're bringing on Jim Ryan from ABC News. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Wayne. How are you?
Good. So, work from home is being extended, right? Because as the Delta virus goes around the world,
yeah,
people don't want to come back to the office. So, there's a tremendous amount of technology now for employers to check up on their workers at home, but also now there's also a way for workers at home to try to game the system. Is that fair to say?
I guess you could say it that way. Yeah, I mean, but it's been going on forever, hasn't it? I mean, in both directions. Employers have always tried to keep tabs on what their employees were doing, looking over their shoulders, see what they're doing on the laptop or the typewriter, if you remember those. And so that's not a new thing. Now it's being done in a much more technological way. Let's say they send home a laptop with you, and it's loaded up with software that allows the employer to keep tabs on you, to check your keystrokes, to watch your mouse movement, to maybe even snap a picture with the webcam to make sure you're sitting there, or take a screenshot of your screen. It's all passed judicial muster. The courts have said it's all okay. And so now some employers are doing this. Maybe a small percentage of them, I think most of them, Wayne, rely on production numbers. You know, whatever you were doing in the office, you're supposed to kind of be doing now at home. And if you're making the same number of sales calls or your commission numbers, they all should essentially match up, right? So I think that's what mainly employers are dealing with or relying upon. Others, though, you know, they see somebody's production fall way off and they're working from home, you might start to wonder, is this person really working or not?
Do they have to tell me that they've put all this stuff on this laptop they're giving me?
No, they don't. And
boy.
But the software makers recommend that you do that anyway. They don't want you to be too stinky and just drop in whenever. But they do want the employers to say, okay, look, I'm going to be straight with you. This does have some software loaded onto it that is going to keep tabs on you. And so just be aware of that. So, you know, and employees are coming up with ways to deal with that, too. Could be as low-tech as, you know, electrical tape over the camera. Or it could be something a little more advanced than that, like the mouse jiggler.
Yeah, let's get into this mouse jiggler.
Well, yeah, if you go on Amazon and you know, put mouse jiggler into the window, there's a search window, there are dozens of different kinds of them. And they range from maybe $15 up to about $40. And some of them physically move the mouse around. Some of them have sort of a pretty little circular, that looks almost like a kaleidoscope. And it rotates, and the optical sensor in your mouse sees that and keeps moving around. Others are just kind of a dongle you push into the USB of your computer, and it moves the cursor around on the screen without actually moving the mouse. So, you know, they're all, it's interesting when they're all marketed, they all say it keeps your computer awake. You know, if you step away from your laptop or leave it alone, you don't touch anything, it falls asleep, right? The screen goes dark, you have to log back on.
Yeah.
And so the makers of these say, yeah, this will keep your computer awake. Well, it also makes it look as though you're sitting there messing with your computer when maybe you're not.
Okay, but here's the thing. So I have to believe employers now have some technology that they can deploy to detect these mouse jigglers.
Yeah, probably so. And if they can log on and remotely look at your computer screen and they see just a mouse wandering across the screen, not really doing anything, I think that would be one big tip off, wouldn't it? You know, I think to privacy advocates, the screenshot thing is more troubling even than the webcam aspect of this bossware or tattleware, if you want to call it that. Because let's say you jump over for 10 seconds or a minute, you take a minute out of your workday to go over and look at your bank account. And during that minute, you've got your bank account open, all the figures are there, your income, your outgo, all the rest of it. And your boss at that moment decides to randomly take a screenshot. Well, suddenly the boss or somebody has a picture of your bank account information, or let's say it's a medical note from your doctor about your last checkup. Some of that stuff is pretty sensitive. So, you know, it's all legal, at least in the eyes of the courts that have looked at it.
It's pretty frightening. Right. The mouse jiggler can't work if your employers put software that tracks your mouse movements and your keystrokes, because they will know that that mouse movement is not legitimate work.
Right.
So that's dead. And you're saying they don't have to tell you what they've put on the laptop.
I know.
So therefore, you have to assume they've put the most intrusive software on it.
Yeah, maybe for your own protection, you should. It's like, well, in radio, Wayne, you should always assume the mic is hot. Don't say anything that you don't want on the air. Don't type anything on your laptop that you don't want your boss to see. Employees also are, you know, a lot of folks are working with Teams, you know, that collaborative software to work with their bosses, their coworkers. They're changing the settings in there, the employees are, so that the boss can't see that private message you sent to your peer who's working somewhere else. Or changing the settings in Zoom. That's an easy one to do. I think it defaults to no camera. You have to turn. No, it doesn't. It's actually Zoom. Zoom has the camera turned on already. You have to turn it off.
Yeah.
So there are little ways to get around this. It's interesting, though, to see this tech on the employment side being set up against tech that's on the employee side.
It's a battle of tech between. Nobody works that way. Nobody logs in and does nothing but work for 8 hours minus a 15-minute break and a lunch and maybe another 15-minute break. Nobody works that way.
You'd go crazy.
Everybody multitasks. Everybody is doing something on the computer and then taking a minute to see, oh, what just happened on TMZ? Let me take a look at that. Everybody does it. So I don't even know really what the point is of that level of surveillance, because I guess I would think if a company wants to know in that much detail what I'm doing every moment, I can't work for a company like that.
Yeah. Well, and at the same time, if you're the boss, you know that's happening. So, you know, give him a break. You catch him looking at TMZ. Okay, give him a pass. You know, say, hey, you know, is this report, is this in yet? You got this on the way? Your PT reports or what's
right. You have to look at the results and not how the person's achieving those results. That's
exactly
the way I've always thought. Jim, thank you. That's fascinating. I'd never seen these mouse jigglers before, and I'm looking on Amazon now. And what's amazing, not just that it exists at all, but how many different companies are selling the. I'm seeing at least 20 different manufacturers of these things. So it must be a kind of a big business.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite one is the one made by Artsy, which is it's a little cradle you put your mouse on, and this beautiful little kaleidoscope looking thing just rotates, right? It just is turning around, and the optical reader in the mouse is seeing that and is getting hypnotized and moving the cursor around the screen.
That's such a good way to put it. Jim, thank you so
All
much.
Right.
Good to talk to you.
See you, Wayne.
All right, Jim Ryan, ABC News correspondent. Let's get a news update from Jennifer Jones-Lee, and then we'll talk a little bit about China and Afghanistan, and why China, this is good news for them, us getting out of Afghanistan, but also it could be the worst news for them in the last 20 years. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It is the Bill Handel Show. He is getting nearer and nearer to full recovery from that heart valve surgery, and he's going to be here at 9 o'clock. We'll find out what is on his mind today. Let's talk a little bit about what is on the mind of the leaders of China in light of our withdrawal from Afghanistan. It's one of those classic good news, bad news situations for China. They kind of liked that we were over there. We originally went over there as an anti-terrorism move. They also have problems with extremist groups in their country. I feel that their definition of when you become an extremist group, the bar is much lower in China than it is over here. But nonetheless, they have similar concerns. And they benefited from us being over there to kind of keep a lid on things getting too crazy. On the other hand, they have been trying to expand their influence in the region. They have something they call the Belt and Road Initiative. This is where they want to build roads. They want to build ports, other kinds of infrastructure, so that they can expand their influence all across Central and South Asia. And up until now, they've steered clear of Afghanistan because we were over there, for one thing. And number two, because even when we were over there, it was not a stable situation. Now, will they decide, since we are gone, that's number one. Number two, the putative government of Afghanistan is gone. It's back in the hands of the Taliban. China and the Taliban. Will they take a chance on the Taliban, i.e., will they trust the Taliban? It would be a gamble. It's a gamble they might be willing to take at this point. Just as we, at least on paper and for public consumption, are trying to have diplomatic relations with the Taliban on some level. We don't have any diplomats in the country anymore. They're all in Qatar, but we're still talking on some level and publicly saying that we're trying to gain their assistance in certain things and make certain understandings happen between us. China also is engaging with the Taliban. They're kind of engaging with the Taliban in an even more robust manner than we are. Because they would love to get into Afghanistan, not the way we were there. They would love to get in there as an ally, if you will, with the Taliban. They would love to do it for, number one, hoping the Taliban will try to keep a lid on extremist activities the way that we did. And also because, you know, you've heard about all the precious minerals that are there in Afghanistan. And back in 2008, so what, that's 23 years ago? No. Yeah. They signed a deal there's a copper mine there. And they signed a deal back in 2008, and they really haven't been able to do anything with it, because guess what happened in 2001? We went in there. So they signed a deal, but we were over there kind of bumming them out. Well, we're gone now. So there's a lot of advantages that could come to China now that we're out of Afghanistan. Expanding their influence in the region, getting their hands on that sweet, sweet copper. But there's also a massive potential downside. We are still nominally looking at Afghanistan and interested in Afghanistan, but now kind of from the outside. We don't have a bunch of resources there in country, certainly not that we're supposed to know about. I'm sure we have nice spy apparatus going on, but we don't have a military there. We don't have an in-country diplomatic mission. What if we decide to take some of that attention and money even that we have been squandering in Afghanistan and turn it to China, our biggest rival on the planet? We could maybe halt some of their progress. They wouldn't like that very much. So they're looking at an opportunity, but they're also concerned, and rightly so, that we're actually going to be more available to fight these fights. I don't mean militarily, but fight these fights diplomatically and economically and technologically against their burgeoning influence in the world, which they would not like very much at all. Because I still feel like if we really threw everything that we had in those areas against China, I think we would win. Maybe I'm naive. Probably naive. Let's get a news update from Jennifer Jones Lee. And then, yes, it's Tech Tuesday. Rich DeMuro's going to be here. And you may have been using a certain email provider, and you were using them because of how secure their system was. Well, they're under a lot of fire for giving information. It's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.